Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chagigo Daf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the second line from the top of Daf Chof Aleph, where the Gemara begins following the Mishnah. Before we begin the actual shiur, the actual text, let us glance at the side where we have a nosei mivneh heading. A nosei is a topic heading, mivneh a structural note, in which we feature a volcano shape, a trapezoid. You'll notice we also have numbers 1 and 2. The trapezoid itself, you'll see the number 1 is found right here at the beginning of the Gemara with Rav Ela's name highlighted. And the number 2 is found on Amud Beis, at the lower part of Amud Beis, where Rava's name is featured. These are hesberim, these are explanations, leha dekotani, regarding that which was taught in the Mishnah delo, toivlin, kli besoch kli lekodesh. That one is to avoid, one is not allowed to immerse one vessel within another. In other words, vessel inside vessel and submerge them in a mikveh when it comes to purifying vessels for sacrificial purposes. What are the reasons that are given? So we'll notice that number 1, Rav Ela gives as his reason, chatzitza. A problem of interposition, where you have the inner vessel placed inside an outer vessel, so the bottom of the inner vessel will be touching the interior of the outer vessel, and at that point, water of the mikveh won't reach. That's called an interposition. We want to have the item that is being immersed, being purified, to be completely surrounded in water. So the inner vessel that needs to be purified will not be completely surrounded by water. And a second approach is a gzeirah. We're afraid, says Rava, that if we allow the immersing of one vessel within another, a person might immerse tome needles, very small type of utensil or vessel, inside a larger vessel, but the outer vessel that will contain the needles has a very narrow opening to it. If the opening is very narrow, the expression that's used is it doesn't have in its opening kishvoferes hanod. That's an amount, a size. Shvoferes hanod. If it doesn't have that size opening, then we say that the waters of the mikveh do not mix with whatever water flows to the outer vessel. So that it's true that the outer vessel holding the needles while submerged, water will get in, but the waters that are in there are not said to be mixed, combined with the mikveh waters because of the too small aperture. So we don't want you, in general, immersing smaller vessels inside larger vessels, lest you come to immersing needles inside a vessel whose opening is very small, less than Shvaferes Hanot. That's a gzeirah approach. Let's now start the Gemara text, second line from the top of Chof Aleph. Bekodesh Mai Taimola. Why did the Mishnah say that Kli Besoch Kli, in immersing one vessel while inside another vessel, is not allowed for Kodesh, for sacrificial purposes? Omar Rav Ela, Mipnei Shekvedo Shel Kli Chotzeitz. Because of the weight of the inner vessel sitting inside the interior of the outer vessel, it weights down, and water won't get under that inner vessel. And that lack of water access is called a chatzitza. The Gemara asks, "V'ha mida seifa mishum chatzitza, reisha lav mishum chatzitza." The issue of an interposition being a factor in immersion is something dealt with in the seifa, the latter part of the Mishnah. If you have access to your Mishnah Chof Amud Beis, so you will notice that we had numbered the different points, the different chumras of Kodesh over Truma, and when you get to what we have noted as point number 5 in the Mishnah, this is the point that's quoted now in our Gemara. That section of the Mishnah dealt with chatzitza, and what does it say? Let's just go over this point again. V'homi d'seifa mishum chatzitza, from the fact that section 5 of the Mishnah, which is the latter part of the Mishnah, deals with chatzitza. Reisha lav mishum chatzitza. So the point dealing with kli b'soch kli, which was the first point, point number 1 of the Mishnah, is not dealing with chatzitza. Otherwise, you have redundancy in the Mishnah. Dikotoni seifa. It said in the seifa of the Mishnah, Velo kemidas hakodesh midas hatruma. The approaches to kodesh, the sacrificial matters, are not the same as those to truma. Sheba kodesh, when it comes to kodesh, and you have to, let us say, you're immersing a garment that you will wear while you're eating korbanos, let us say, or a garment for kodshim purposes, matir, you have to undo any knots in the garment, umangiv, and then dry it off, umakbil, and then immerse it, v'acharkach kosher, and then retie whatever needs to be tied up. The undoing of the knots is to make sure that water gets into every part of the beged, of the garment. Ubitruma, when it comes to immersing a garment for truma purposes, kosher v'acharkach matpil, you can have it tied, and in a tied state you can immerse it thusly. So what do we see? That to accept Rabbi Yulo's explanation as to why point 1 of the Mishnah is forbidden based on the chatzitza explanation, that it seems untenable, because the issue of chatzitza is dealt with later in the Mishnah. The Gemara answers, Reisha v'seifa mishum chatzitza. Even though it seems to be repetitive or redundant, it is not. We'll see as the Gemara goes on. We used a marking, a crown shape, around the word Reisha. We also have a little arrow indicating to note the corresponding arrow on Omid Beis, where also, if you go ahead and look for it, you'll notice that on that line on Omid Beis, there is also a crown shape. And on the side, under our Mivneh heading, the word Reisha is featured with this crown. The Reisha, which is the topic of Kli B'soch Kli, the marking is a simun, a marking lahavlit, to accentuate hahevdel bein gishas Reb Ilo leha deshel Rava, to show the difference between Reb Ilo's approach and Rava's approach. According to Rav Ilo, the Reisha is also dealing with chatzitza. According to Rava, that we'll see later on Amud Beis, the Reisha is not representative of a problem of chatzitza. There's a different reason, as we explained earlier in our introductory remarks. So now we continue with our text. Rav Elal will tell you that both number 1 of the Mishnah and number 5 of the Mishnah are dealing with chatzitza issues. Utsricha, and I need to teach it twice. De'i Ashminan, the squiggle underline here helps to highlight each one topic and why teaching one would not be enough. De'i Ashminan Reisha, had we taught the case of Kli B'soch Kli, Hava Amina, Hainu Taimo, De L'Kodesh Lo, I would have thought that the reason for Kodesh No, Mishum Kvedo, Shokli Diko, because of the weight of the vessel that is present that would create a chatzitza problem. Avol, seifa, the issue of the knot, deleko kvedo shokli, where there isn't any issue of weight of vessel, emol the kodesh nami lohavi chatzitza. I would have thought, had it not been stated in the Mishnah, that the immersion of a garment with knots in it is okay, leaving the knots in place even for sacrificial purposes. V'ashmin and seifa, and had I taught just the case of the garment, namely that you have to undo the knot because of chatzitza problems, havi amino, hainu, taimo de l'kodesh. I would have thought that the reason for kodshim, it's not allowed to be the garment to be immersed with the knot. Mishum, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. The kitra, a kitra is a knot. The word kesher is the same as kitra. The tof, or that is the tes and the shin interchange. So the kitra ahaduki mahadik, a knot is something that's very tight, and it's virtually impossible for the water to get into that spot. Avoresha de maya akfuye matfule lamona. The resha, the vessel, when it's submerged, the water will force the inner vessel to float upwards. And if it floats upwards, so lo havi chatzitza, so there's no problem of an interposition. The water will surround that inner vessel. So had I taught you just case 5 as a chatzitza problem, I wouldn't have figured that case 1 is a chatzitza problem. Tzricha, therefore, I have to teach 1 as well, even though it too is a chatzitza problem, in a kvedo shikli, because of the weight of the vessel. So the two cases of chatzitza need to be taught. We numbered the points, the chumros, the stringencies, the number of stringencies of Kodesh over Truma, and in our conventional numbering of the Mishnah, we reached 11 points. Are there really 11 points? Well, think about Rav Ela's explanation. Is it not so, according to Rav Ela, that example 1 and example 5 of our Mishnah are really one in the same? They're both issues where we are choshesh for chatzitza by kodesh and not by truma. So according to Rav Ela, you might say that they're really 10, not 11, 10 ma'alos. Ma'alos are chumros, are stringencies. So the Gemara continues and says that Rav Ilah l'tamei, Rav Ilah, by establishing the resha as a chatzitza issue, is actually consistent with what else he has said concerning our Mishnah. What else did Rav Ilah say concerning our Mishnah? And take note of the fact that we have a long point marking now. Rav Ila said, "The Omar Rav Ila, Omar Rav Chanina bar Papa, Eser Malos Shanukan." There are 10 stringencies that are taught here. 10, and I emphasize 10, not 11. And by saying 10, so we're in effect saying that examples 1 and 5 are really one and the same. So that all told, you have 10 ma'alos. Chomesh rishonos, bein kodesh, bein l'chulin shenatsu ataras kodesh. Actually, before we go too much further, we have a marking, the diamond marking, that we would like to explain. You see a diamond here, and you will notice on Chof Beis Omen Aleph, the second line from the top, there is another diamond. And on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, we note as follows. Shtei deos b'minyan ha-ma'alos ha-shnius b'mishnah. There are two approaches in the counting of the ma'alos, the stringencies, featured in the Mishnah. Machlokes zu mevusas, the controversy between Rav Ila over here and we'll see Rav Nachman on Chof Beis Amud Aleph. Their controversy is based on Eich lahagdir ho isur bekotshin betfilas kli besoch kli. How to categorize regarding the issue of korbonus, the prohibition or the restriction of immersing a vessel within a vessel. The Rav Ila, who by Yosho Chatzitz, according to Rav Ila, as we explained, it represents a problem of interposition. The Chatzitza Muzkeres Shuv Behemshech HaMishnah Be'inyin HaToras Ksorem Shel Beged Lefnei Tvila. The issue of Chatzitza is mentioned again in the Mishnah regarding the untying of knots in a garment before its immersion. Memelo Yesh Rak Eser Malos. Since Chatzitza is in effect mentioned twice, they count only as one, so that you'll have only a sum total of 10 Malos. The Rav Nachman, who Oser Mishum Gzeiro Shelo Yovo Lahatbil Besoch Kli She'en B'Thiv Kishvo Feres Hanot. According to Rav Nachman, the problem that Kli B'soch Kli presents is a fear that you, if we allow in general one vessel in another, you're going to actually immerse needles inside a bottle whose neck, whose opening is less than Shfoferes Hanot. That's an amount. For lo mishum chatzitza, and it's not a chatzitza issue. Memelo yesh yud aleph malos, and therefore, since example one of the Mishnah is not repeated again later in the Mishnah, it's a separate issue. It's a gzeirah, it's a rabbinic prohibition anticipating a worst case scenario. So therefore, it counts as a separate number, and you'll then get to a total of 11. So Rav Ila, back to our Gemara, Rav Ila, who said that Kli B'soch Kli is a Chatzitza problem, this is consistent with Rav Ila's analysis of the numbers in the Mishnah. And according to Rav Ila, you get up to 10 Malos. And our Gemara says the first five, Chomesh Rishonos, we're continuing in the Gemara text on the fifth line from the top, the first five, they apply Bein L'Kodesh, whether it's a matter concerning actual sacrifices, bein l'chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, or as it has relevance to chulin that one treats with the severity, the stringency of sacrifices. Achroinos, the last five malos, are applicable l'kodesh, avolo l'chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, but not applicable to chulin treated as if it were kodesh. These topics are the topic of chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh we discussed at some length in a previous shiur, so we're simply referring to it as it is. Now, my time, why the distinction? Why the first five examples of chumrah apply not only to kodesh but apply to chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh? The Gemara says, Chomesh Komaiso, the first five cases in the Mishnah, De'is Lehudrora De'tumad Midoraisa, where each example there involves a chashash. Drora, Rashi explains, a chashash, a fear or a consideration that could lead to a matter of tumah on a Torah level. Gozru b'hurabonon bein l'kodesh bein l'chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. Since there is a Torah level element in lurking in the background, and as we go through the Rashi, we'll see this explained a little more clearly, but there's a Torah level suspicion or doubt or concern. Therefore, we apply it not only to actual sacrifices, but also to those who, rabbinically speaking, treat their chulin as if they were sacrifices. Basraisa, the last five examples of chumrah in the Mishnah, deles lehudrora detuma midoraisa, they do not have any association with a Torah level tumah concern. Gozru b'hu rabbonin l'kodesh, the rabbis imposed the restrictions as they're listed in the Mishnah, but only with regard to actual sacrifices. L'chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh lo gozru b'hu rabbonin. But as far as treating chulin that's eaten with the restrictions of sacrifices with those same chumros, the last five chumros in the Mishnah, we wouldn't say thusly. Let's take a look at Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines, Roro de Tuma Doraisa. Chashash Tuma Doraisa. And Rashi goes through examples in the Mishnah, and we've numbered them through the Rashi. They correspond to the numbers in the Mishnah. Kli Besoch Kli, the issue of a vessel within a vessel, Iiko Chatzitza, if there's an actual Chatzitza, then Tuma Doraisa Hi. You have the vessel remaining Tomei on a Torah level. If the water doesn't completely surround the inner vessel, so nothing has been accomplished, and its original defilement will remain on a Torah level. Achorayim v'toch, af al gav debekelim shnitmu achorov b'mashkin, the tumah derabbanan hi askinon. Even though the example number two of the Mishnah, which spoke about a vessel that has different units that make up this singular vessel. We even provided a crude illustration of that when we learned the Mishnah. And in the Mishnah we spoke about the vessel becoming Tomei through contact. We spoke about rabbinic Tumah. So it's Tumah that is incurred through contact with liquids that are Tomei. And the ability of a liquid to metama the outside of a vessel is a rabbinic phenomenon. Mihu, Rashi goes on, ha di omu rabbonon mashkin metamin kli, that which the rabbonon said that liquids can impose tuma to a vessel, that is true. It is rabbinic, but it's mishum gzeira de mashkeza v'zavahu. It's a gzeira. In anticipation of liquids coming from a zav or a zava, these are people that are tamei in a very severe fashion. Kagon roko meme raglov, the saliva or the urine of a zav or a zava. Vahani, these particular liquids mitamin kli midoraisa, they can impose tuma to a vessel on a Torah level. Ubetuma doraisa ain chiluk bekli shetef. And when it comes to Torah level Tumah, there is no distinction when you're dealing with a Kli Shetef. Kli Shetef are vessels made of materials that lend themselves to immersion in a mikveh. This, by the way, is in contrast to clay vessels that are not immersed in a mikveh. So when it comes to Kli Shetef, there is no distinction made between Bein Achorayim, Lesochu, whether the contact with the Tumah of the, is from the outside or from within the vessel. Shebechol Mokum, Shetumah Negasbo, Nitmok. Wherever the tumah comes into contact, let's say the saliva or the urine of a zav, the entire vessel will become tomei. So the Mishnah's comment regarding number two, acharayim v'toch b'satzvita, does not apply to Kodesh. We make no distinctions with regard to Kodesh, but we do make distinctions with regard to truma. True, in the Mishnah we're talking about liquids that are metame on a rabbinic level, but that's a gzeira in anticipation of liquids that are metame on a Torah level. So the phenomenon of liquids imparting tuma has a source or a root on in a Torah level, at a Torah level concern. Number three, Noseas HaMedrash Nami. The Mishnah described someone who was carrying a medrash, mentioned in the example there in the Mishnah of the shoe of a zav. So someone who is carrying that, there is an issue. Nami chashash tuma doraisa hi kinim beforish begemara. There is an element of Torah level tuma in that scenario, as is explained later in the Gemara. Maisa hoyav shenofla rutsua sasando la'av yurchovis, where the strap of the shoe fell into the airspace of the container, and that would impart tumah. If the container is an earthenware or clay container, it would impart tumah to the contents, even without actual contact. That would be a Torah scenario. So that the issue of carrying of the shoe has a potential tumah doraisa attached to it. Number four, bigdei oichle truma medris lekodesh. We spoke about the on a rabbinic level that all the clothing of Ochlei Truma, of Kohanim, are considered medrash. They would be metame a person who's about to eat a sacrifice. Is there a Doraisa level Tuma that one can speak about regarding the clothing of a person? Yes. Shemo Yoshvalem Ishto Nida Chashash Tuma Doraisi. If the man's wife, while she was menstruant, sat on those clothing, that article of clothing would convey Tuma to someone else on a Torah level. That's a true medrash. So that the rule view that views all the clothing of Ochlei Truma as medrash for Kodesh, it's a rule that takes into consideration the possibility of an actual Tuma Doraisa. Kalim Hanigmorim, the Mishnah spoke in example 6, which, depending how you count things in the Mishnah, that could be example number 5. The Mishnah spoke about vessels that were completed in a state of tahara. However, when you want to use it for sacrificial meat, you have to immerse it. That is also associated with a possible tumah d'oraisa, mishum tzinur d'amoretz, shema zavhu. We're afraid of the spittle of an amoretz that may have been on the vessel as it was being completed, and that amoretz might be a zav. And as we saw before, the roke of a zav is mitame on a Torah level. The last 5 examples, though, are not connected with a chashash tuma d'oraisa. And hence, as we saw under Rav Ilo's comment, that they do not apply, those restrictions or those chumas don't apply with regard to chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. Rava, we continue in our Gemara with the second volcano shape. Roman numeral number 2, Rava Omar, midaseifa havi mishum chatzitza, from the fact that the issue concerning the untying of knots in clothing, the number 5 example of the Mishnah, was a chatzitza issue, reisha lav mishum chatzitza. The reisha, kli v'soch kli, is not a chatzitza issue. The reisha hainu taima, the reisha that restricted immersing kli b'soch kli, the reason is gzeiro shelo yatbil machtin v'tzinoros bekli she'ein b'fiv kishvoferes hanod. Vessel inside a vessel, if that were allowed, people would think that I could put needles inside a jar that has a very narrow neck, whose opening is less than this sheet or this dimension called shvoferes hanod. And if the opening of a vessel containing needles is less than a shvoferes hanod, and that's immersed in the mikveh, so it's true that the vessel will become filled with water. Water will enter. However, the water inside this vessel that contains the needles doesn't then mix with the water of the mikveh. So it's considered as if it's not in the mikveh at all. And hence the needles will not become tohor. Utnan, and we have a Tanaic source that elaborates on this point called mikveh connection. Eruv mikvos kishvoferes hanod. The Rashi explains, second line from the bottom, Eruv mikvos, mikveh choser betzad mikveh sholem. Imagine you have 2 mikvos that are separated by a wall, and one is full and the other is lacking. A minimum full mikveh is 40 saws, we've seen in our previous shiurim, and the other mikveh is lacking. Vatsinor b'neim ha-mechaber, and there's a pipe in the wall separating these 2 mikvos, and through the pipe the water of both pools touch one another, they run into each other. So that's the issue of Eruv mikvos. In order for the mikveh that's lacking, the mikveh shiur, to benefit from the fact that it's connected to a mikveh that has a complete shiur, you need to have the pipe with the following size. It has to be kishveres hanod, ku'uvya. We're continuing to explain the dimensions. Ku'uvya u'kechalola b'shtei etzbos chozros l'makomon. The width of that hole And it's the width and the circumference of that hole must be such that you could insert into the hole two fingers that are next to each other, and then rotate your hand with the two fingers in the hole, be able to rotate your hand without the hole being too tight for that to take place. Rashi points out that we're talking about the issue of kli b'soch kli. And so what's the problem of kli b'soch kli? It's the problem of eruv mikvos, this too small aperture. That is a concern that has that's of a Torah level nature. In other words, if you have the connection point is less than that, and you attempt to immerse something in the mikveh that doesn't have a full shiur, the item that's immersed will not be purified even on a Torah level. It's lacking tahara even on a Torah level. It's lacking a basic requirement for mikveh connection. So now that's Rava's explanation as far as kli b'soch kli is concerned. And as far as the number of different chumros in the Mishnah, the first one is not a chatzitza issue. It's a gezeira. It's a rabbinic prohibition anticipating the worst case scenario. So that we can call a problem of a gezeira. And the case with the clothing and the knots, that's a chatzitza problem. Sovar lo kehod yom Rav Nachman Omar Rabba Bar Avua. Rava is of the opinion of Rav Nachman that says Yud Aleph or Achadasor 11 Ma'alois Shanu Kan. There are, in fact, 11 Chumros stated in the Mishnah. Sheish Rishonos Bein Lekodesh Bein Lechulin Shenasu Al Taras Hakodesh. The first six have relevance not only to sacrifices but also to someone who treats his chulin with the same stringencies as sacrifices. Achronos, the last five examples of the Mishnah Lekodesh, they have relevance to sacrifices. Avalo lechulin shenasu al taharas hakodesh, but not to that realm, the realm of chulin that's treated with kodesh sanctity. My ika bain de rova lider of Ela. What practical difference is there between Rav Ela's analysis and Rava's analysis? Iko binayu, the point of difference will be sal vigargusni shemilon kalim vidbilon. Sal and gargusni, Rashi says that gargusni is a large basket. It's a large basket that is used for straining wine when the grape harvest takes place. The grapes are accumulated in this unit called a gargusni, and the grape juice flows out of it into the wine press area. There's maybe more detail on the topic. Rashi alludes to a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, but for our purposes, you're dealing with two kinds of vessel, two types of baskets, sal v'gargusni, and we'll see what their significance is for us over here in a moment. If one were to fill a sal v'gargusni, shemilon kalim v'bilon, filled them with other vessels that needed purification, and then you immersed the entire unit into the mikveh. In other words, you submerged the gargusni with other vessels. Let's say you put some cups and silverware into a gargusni and submerged it into the mikveh. Will the cutlery and the serviceware, will they become tahor? This is a simple case of kli b'soch kli, but the outer vessel is a gargusni in this case. Laman yomer mishum chatzitza ika. According to Rav Ela, he won't allow that because there still remains the problem of chatzitza, the potential for the inner vessel to weight down on the inside of the gargusni. Laman yomer mishum gzeiro shemo yakbil machtin v'tzinorios b'kli she'ein b'fiv kishloferes hanoid. According to Rava, who said kli b'soch kli is not allowed because you might come to immerse needles in small necked vessels, Salve gargusni, she'ein befihem kishveres hanod leka. There is no such thing in the world of manufacture of a sal or a gargusni that have a very narrow neck. So that by someone using a salve gargusni for immersion purposes, he's not going to come to confuse that with a narrow necked vessel. Umikveh shecholku besal vegargusni. Rava makes a second point. We should point out, of course. Let us just correct our reading. Let's go back to the last word on the line that we're picking up with the Azda Rava Litame. Rava, in his presentation of the Mishnah and the explanation of Kli Besoch Kli as being not allowed because of the narrow neck thing, and according to Rava, if you were to immerse in a sal and gargusni, that would be okay. This approach of Rava is consistent with what Rava has said elsewhere. D'omar Rava, salva gargusni shemilon kelim v'bilon tahorin. A sal and gargusni that you filled up with vessels, they will be torn. Rashi adds critically, says, even l'kodesh. When Rava says torn, it means across the boards, even for kodesh. And that's consistent with what we just said in our analysis of the difference between Rav Elo and Rava, where Rava is telling you that you could immerse Kli Besoch Kli if the outer vessel is a sal or gargusni. Another point that Rava makes, U'mikveh shecholkei besal v'gargusni, if you had a mikveh that wasn't a very large mikveh, and you placed in the middle of the mikveh a sal or a gargusni, thereby splitting the one mikveh into two parts, two halves, with the sal or gargusni in the middle. Hatoivel shum lo also lo tfila. If you immerse yourself in on one side of this sal or gargusni, it will not be an effective immersion. Now, we mentioned the sal and gargusni are baskets. It's woven. It's a vessel that's made of woven work. It has holes in it. The sides of it are full of holes. We mentioned before that it's actually used as a straining device. And here you place the sal and gargusni in the middle of the mikveh. And on either side of this, you do not have the minimum 40 saw. If you were to remove it, so the entire mikveh altogether would have 40 saw. But now that you placed the sal or gargusni in the middle of the mikveh, on either side of it, you don't have 40 saw. Immersing yourself on one side will not be effective. It won't be considered a kosher immersion. Lo also lo tefila daha, and the basis of this conclusion is now what are we explaining? We're describing a situation where in effect all the water is really touching one another. The basket in question is full of holes, so there's water penetration. Yet it constitutes a mechitza, a break, a separation. And when you have a mikveh that is separated, even though the water is flowing from one side to the other, but it's separated with this basket with all of its with its small holes in it, it's not effective. The immersion is not effective. Taha ara kula, the world. Chalchule mechalchila, the world is full of holes, underground streams and rivers and springs. All the world's water, in effect, is touching one another, if you think about it extensively. Rashi says, the whole aro kula mechalchala, v'amayim hanoivim kan boyin minar godol, the water that flows here as a spring is coming from a large river somewhere else, v'lo chashvinon kimechubor, and we don't say that the little spring that's flowing over here is considered attached, deboin on mem saw b'mokom echad, we are always going to insist that you have a complete 40 saw in one spot. even though, technically speaking, if you run across a small spring, that small spring with less than 40 sa, where you are right now in the pool or in the hole in which the spring is bubbling forth, but the water in that spring is connected ultimately to a large water supply, that does not help. So that is what the Gemara is saying, that the entire world is chalchulei mechalchos, full of holes, uboinon deika memso b'mokom echad, and nevertheless we require in one place a continuum of uninterrupted 40 saw. By putting the salar gargusni down the middle of the mikveh, you're not allowing it to be an uninterrupted 40 saw in one spot. Vahani mili, and here Rashi is critical. Hani mili, Rashi says, "Hodi amrinon, that which we said, hamatu bekli she'en befid kishvosano tameim, that immersing things in a vessel whose neck is his neck opening is very narrow, and the interior vessels, like we had before, the needles that were inserted to that vessel will remain defiled. That." Din, that the entrance of the water to the inner, to the outer vessel from the mikveh is ineffective. When is that? Hani mili bekli tohor. That's when that outer vessel with the very narrow neck is itself pure. In other words, it itself does not need immersion. Avo bekli tome, if the outer vessel itself with the very narrow aperture was Tome, migu de salkot vila lekule gufe demona. Since the immersion is effective for it, after all, if you have a jar or a bottle that has a very narrow neck and it happens to be tome, it's obvious. It goes without saying that you can immerse it in a mikveh, and the entrance of the water to that. To the interior of that vessel while it's submerged enables the vessel with its narrow neck to become tahar. So the logic right now is that if the outer vessel also contains tomei items like the needles, and the outer vessel with its narrow neck, it itself needs to be immersed. So we say that since the immersion is effective for it, salkaluhu nami lekelim de isbe, the immersion will be effective for the vessels that are inside of it as well. The snan, the Mishnah teaches, kelim shemilon kelim, vessels that were filled up with other vessels, vid bilon, and they were submerged in a mikveh, hare elu tahorim, they become tahar. Now the continuation of this source is not 100% clear. The Gemara will touch upon that. The imlo toval mayim hamuravim achu muravim kishvoferes hanod. The Gemara asks, "My ko'omar v'im lo toval." What is this source saying? The source began by describing someone that immersed the vessel. What do you mean if he didn't immerse it? Hachi ko'omar. The im lo toval expression doesn't mean if he didn't immerse it. It means v'im eino tzorech lahad bilo. If the outer vessel with the narrow neck doesn't need to be submerged, umayim hamuravim, and water is mixing is flowing into the vessel and thereby mixing with the mikveh, and you have little vessels inside this particular outer vessel. Achu muravin kishroferes hanod. Then we say that the inner vessels will not achieve their purification until the neck, the opening of the outer vessel, is the kishroferes hanod, the shiur that we described above of an aperture in which you can insert two fingers and rotate your hand thusly. If the outer vessel, once again, is tahor, then the inner vessels will not become tome unless the opening is this minimum size, known as shvoferes hanod. We're in the middle of a sugya. The next piece of Gemara continues with Rava and Rav Ila, mentioning that the positions that they took, specifically the case of the Sal and Gargusni. Could you fill other vessels into the Sal and Gargusni and immerse them for Korban purposes? They, Rava and Rava Ila, are Amoroyim. The Gemara will point out that their machlokes, where Rav Ila, who was concerned with Chatzitza, says it's ineffective, and Rava, who says it's an issue of Gzeira because of a cliche in Befiv Shveres Hanod, and therefore it's not a problem, is in fact a machlokes tanoim. That will be the point that the Gemara mentions, and Mirtz Hashem will pick up with that in our next shiur. Before we conclude, however, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.